Hey up everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzers, or Lessons and Confidence. Today I want to talk a little bit about Westfield and why I don't like it. I think this is one of the worst places on planet Earth, right? And I'm going to get into why. So if you know what a Westfield is, in America they apparently have loads of them, but in Britain we've only got two. We've got one in Stratford and we've got one in Shepherd's Bush. This is the one in Shepherd's Bush, right? And look, do you know what Westfield is? It's a big shopping centre full of shops that you can't use, right? It's got stuff in there like Gucci, right? When am I ever going to need to go buy Gucci clothes? It's got Ralph Lauren in there. When am I ever going to need to buy that, right? I was walking around in there, right, with this camera, right? I wasn't planning on filming inside there because I know that, like, you're not allowed to. There's filming restrictions and stuff like that. It's private property and obviously all that kind of stuff, right? But right, I'm just walking around with this camera at my side, right? Just taking in this overcrowded, sterile, corporate, disgusting environment, right? And I'm walking around, right? Just trying to get from one side to the other, right? And I'm going up the escalator, right? And at the end of the escalator, I'm greeted by a security guard, big burly security guard with loads of like kit on, right? And a big high vis, right? And he says to me, "Are you recording then?" And I was like, "No, I'm just carrying it around with me. You see the lens caps on it." And he's like, "Ah, yeah, but sorry, you can't actually have this in the building. I'm going to have to ask you to leave." And I was like, "What? I mean, yeah, fair enough, all right, I'll leave. But what do you mean, what? I can't exist in this premises with this camera? Look, I take this camera everywhere, right? I really do take this camera everywhere, okay? And what, I'm not allowed to exist with my possessions in this thing? It's a camera, for God's sake. I'm not allowed to take it in." That's not why I dislike this place, by the way, right? I've got a long and storied history about why I don't like this place that I'm gonna impart onto you now. So the first time I came here, I was like 12, right? You're in year 7, year 8, you hear all the popular kids going on about, "I'm gonna go to Westfield and I'm gonna go do loads of shopping." And it's like, okay, cool, good for you. All right, I don't mind that, right? I don't mind that until I get dragged along, right? And I have to sit in that shithole of a building, right? Just wandering around with this annoying music playing, right? The lights are so bright, everything's so large and far apart. There's so many people everywhere. There's so many shops that are just so useless. It's all designer handbags and, you know, just like Lexus, you know, shops and stuff like that. There's just nothing that I need. There's only one thing in there that I have any use for, and it's the View Cinema, right? Now, the first time I went into this View Cinema, I was 13 or 14, and I wanted to watch with some friends. I wanted to watch We're the Millers, right, which is rated 15. We weren't allowed to get in, right? We did try to like blag our way in, but we weren't allowed in. So we had to settle for buying tickets to Adam Sandler's Grown Ups 2, right? So we sat down in the cinema, right? And this is one of the first films I ever saw in the cinema. Like, this is the first film in the cinema I ever saw on my own without being taken by my parents, right? Grown Ups 2, right? Pure cinema, that is, right? So I sit down, we sit through the 40 minutes of adverts, and that's not Westfield's fault, that's View Cinema's fault. But we get through that, we get through all the trailers, right? Get a trailer for We're the Millers, which is a bit irritating because I'm not allowed to watch it, right? And finally the film comes on, and it starts off with Adam Sandler being woken up by a moose in his house, or a deer in his house, or something like that. And the deer is just like running all around, destroying everything. And later on in the film, they're hanging out at like a little like cliff sort of lake thing, right? Lakeside sort of thing. And I think it's Kevin James. He decides he's gonna like do a bit of like dive bombing off the cliff. So he dive bombs off the cliff, but they're all skinny dipping, right? And he dives off the cliff, and he lands arse first into Adam Sandler, right? And there's a sort of muffled line that Adam Sandler gives of, it's like, "I'm inside you." And so what? The idea is that Adam Sandler's face and his entire head went up Kevin James's arsehole. Is that the point? Is that the joke? Hilarious, right? So I watched that. It's actually not as bad as it's made out to be, right? It's not the worst film on planet Earth, right? That'd be Dune, which I'll get into at some point. But anyway, so we get out of the cinema, right? And then we start shopping. We go around doing some shopping, right? And we're going into all these clothes shops, and the minimum for a t-shirt is like 40 quid. And this is 10 years ago, right? So I'm walking around just like this, You know that whole thing of like husbands that get taken like clothes shopping, and they have that like in sitcoms and stuff, they always have that little section for husbands to sit at. And you know, the whole joke is that they're just bored, right? That was me, right? I didn't even have a girlfriend. I was just wandering around there with my friends. So, and it's just irritating because there's so much space there. It's so big. Look at it. It goes on all the way down there. It's huge. It's massive, this thing is, right? And it's full of crap. It's full of clothes shops, jewelry shops, random bits of fucking bubble tea, right? One cinema, a couple Vietnamese restaurants, right? A load of walkways. You can get some truffles in there. You can buy a Lexus and you can get an opportunity to go cliff diving. Brilliant. Is that what I want from a building that's easily the size of a fucking airport, right? What a great use of fucking space that is. But oh, it works for the economy. There's a whole fucking motorway road here, right? That goes down to a car park. It's all for a car park. We got loads of cars with fucking like four digit long license plates that they've spent like $8,000 on. That they drive down there and they spend £10 a cunting hour to sit and park in fucking Westfield. So they can go dragged along by their fucking families. Just wandering up and down these endless fucking streets of fucking... Oh, let me try and calm down and bring this back to something useful in some kind of regard, right? Because, look, I understand the need for shopping. I understand that shopping can be nice and it's a hobby that people have. And maybe I don't share that hobby, but I shouldn't allow my lack of enjoyment of something to get in the way of other people's enjoyment of something, right? And that's totally fine, okay? I get that. However, this right here is a testament to the classism in this fucking country. You go in this, right? If you're not a fucking millionaire, there's nothing in here for you. And do you know where this is? It's in Shepherd's fucking Bush. Do you know where Shepherd's Bush is? It's the most derelict fucking place on the planet, right? Just surrounded by tower blocks. If I go that way, it's basically, it's not a slum, but it's basically a slum. It's fucking ridiculous what's here. There is nothing in Westfield for the local residents, right? Everyone that wants to come here comes from like fucking Fitzrovia and Chelsea and Knightsbridge, and they drive in here in their giant fucking cars. Obviously, I'm not getting good cars here to make the point with, but you just get all these materialistic people, right, that just go in there, right, and they piss about all day and under these fucking fluorescent lights, right, being offered various bits of free food, and they don't even do the free food anymore. That was the one good thing about Westfield, is you could go in and you get some free fucking food, and that was really nice. But now, there's nothing. There's nothing in there for me. The View Cinema is still there, but I've found better cinemas that are nearer to me now, right? Cinemas that aren't, like, corporatized, where, you know, there's View Cinema, Odeon, Cineworld, whatever the American equivalents are, they're not doing much for the state of film in this country and in America as well. You want to go to the local picture houses. You want to go to the independent cinemas, the ones that, and I know I look like a fucking person to be saying that, right? But you need to go to the local picture houses and support them and buy their fucking food and buy the tickets to their fucking movies, because they'll have way better movies than there. I bet right now in there, the best film that they've got on is like John Wick 5, right? And look, John Wick was all right. The action scenes are good. Keanu Reeves is a nice guy, but the films are shit, right? They didn't need to make 4 of them, let alone 5 of them, or however many they've fucking got going on in there now, right? So I do apologize for the fact that this has immediately become a rant, right? I didn't want this to become a rant, but I'll tell you what, I've been dragged to this cunting building so many fucking times. I hate it. I hate everything that it stands for. I hate the fact that it's a giant testament to the fucking capitalistic system that we live under. I hate the fact that it's a classist fucking shithole under fluorescent lights. I hate the fact there's no shops in there that are any good to me, right? Fill it full of YMCAs and Sainsbury's and I'd be happy, right? That'd be great. Okay, go in there. You can look through the record shops. Oh, there's a HMV in there. That's pretty decent, all right? But even then, that's not brilliant, right? I went into a HMV the other day. Do you know how much a fucking record costs now? When I was getting records like 8 years ago, they were like 17 quid. Now you want to get a single LP, they're like 40 quid. 40 quid. The bargain bucket is now like 25 quid. What's that about, right? I bet in there it's even more expensive because of the buffoons that go in there, right? and it's just a giant waste of space. And honestly, they've expanded it recently. It's even fucking bigger now, right? Do you know how far this thing goes back? It goes so far back that it's not even called Shepherd's Bush anymore. It's called White fucking City, right? And on the other side of this giant wall of fucking plastic, right, is another fucking shithole looking slummy sort of area for the people that are too poor to shop in this fucking shopping center. All they can do is wander around it, crowding everything up. So you don't even get the luxury of just having a nice open space. It's crowded all the time. It's noisy. It stinks. The security guards kicked me out for having a camera. Not even filming with a camera, just having a camera. I don't have any footage to cut to, but just to show that I didn't film in there, right? And look, nothing against all the people that work in there. It supplies loads of jobs, you know. There's loads of jobs that are being done in there, designed for, you know, people that are on basically minimum wage to serve the, you know, the upper class, essentially, or the people that are willing to spend £150 on a pair of tights, right? Fair enough, it does create jobs for the economy. And rich people have loads of money to spend, and we should do something about that. Cool, I get that. Doesn't need to be this big. Doesn't need to be that size. Look at this shit. Look how fucking big it is. Look how far it goes. Do you see that? Do you see how long this fucking road is? It's infinite. It's an infinite expanse of corporatism and fucking, what's the word that I'm trying to think of? Consumerism, that's it. Right, just a pain in the ass, and I don't like it, and genuinely, right? Hang on. Look. I understand that this video won't be for everyone. I understand that some people might like this building and I'm just here shitting on it. And I don't mean to wet your whistle. No, that's not the saying. I don't mean to shit on your parade. I don't mean to, you know, take the piss out of something that you find quite enjoyable. It's just a nice little hobby going into Westfield and having a look around. Maybe you have some shops in there that you like. Maybe you've got some friends that work in there that you go in and visit and have a nice little time with. I'm sure there's little communities in there, right, that I haven't, you know, been privy to. And I totally understand that. And I don't want to destroy everything about it, right? What I want is for it to be maybe 15% the size, right? I wouldn't mind if Westfield was just what was in that first shot, right? But this, look how big it is. And you know what? You can go the other fucking way as well. So here, you got all this, and then you got all this. That's more of it. There's more of it. It just keeps going and going. There's so much of it everywhere. Right, Westfield, as far as the eye can see, so far, it's West, East, North and South Field, right? And there's another one of these cunting things in Stratford as well. And I'm not happy with it. I don't like the fact they exist. If they want to build a third one, they can build on my fucking dead body. But they're going to have to get a whole lot more of my dead bodies just to fit this fucking thing on it. It's ridiculous, right? So thank you very much for watching. I know this has been an angry video. I know you don't normally come to me for that sort of thing. Shut the fuck up. Get your fucking, the woman that's probably like ill or whatever, and sort her out. Oh, get that. She's got ambulance going into Westfield. So it's strain on the public services. Pain in the ass, man. So thank you so much for watching. Sorry for the rant. And yeah, I love you all. You're all amazing. And we'll be back with some more positivity very, very soon. I've wanted to do a rant video for a little while. I like ranting sometimes. It's nice to get some energy out there, you know? And I had some fun doing that, right? And I know that people probably, like, the first, like, if you don't like this video, the first thought would be like, oh, if you don't like something, why think about it? Why give it any of your time, right? Because it's enjoyable to get some steam off your chest. I like that. I have fun doing that. I was having the time of my life doing that rant. That was a good bit of fun. I enjoyed it, right? And I'd like to do another one on something else that could get me similarly riled up. So, yeah. Thank you so much for watching. I love you all. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And leave your comments, by the way, about that. Westfield. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about burnout and how when you are burnt out, it can often feel like when you're trying to get yourself out of it, that you seem to put yourself back into the place that you were in before, and like it just is a self-feeding cycle. The same way that high energy sort of things and having a lot of energy and having a lot of positivity in your life can feed into itself and give you more positivity, more energy, the same thing can happen with negative stuff. And I don't know how much control one has over the process at hand. You know, it really matters on if you're like deterministic or if you're a bit more, you know, into the idea of fate, or if you're a bit more into the idea of free will and that kind of thing. I think there's an element of self-imposedness onto the change from positive to negative and negative to positive, as in, you know, you kind of do a little bit of it to yourself. So that means that I'm a bit burnt out at the moment, right? And I've been burnt out for a couple of weeks, and I'm trying to get myself out of it. And I'm looking at what put me into that position in the first place. And I think there's a few things. One was, I did 2 videos a day for like 3 months, and that was a lot. And I was making music, and I was filming a film, and I was doing so many things at the same time, and like personal life stuff as well on top of that. And that, you know, I was trying to balance too many plates, and eventually some of the plates fell off, right? And that, so when you see one plate fall, then another plate falls, and then another plate falls. So maybe, you know, the first plate falling wasn't my fault, but the fact that I reacted in a bit of a panicky way and caused more plates to fall, that side is my fault, right? And that's in part because I'm not very good at juggling plates, and in part because, you know, it's kind of a natural reaction, you know? When one plate falls, you get a little bit like, ah! Like that. And I'm being quite literal about the plate spinning analogy, but if you extrapolate it into the idea that, you know, you've got to push yourself forwards in order to keep doing things, you've got to keep improving yourself so that you can look back on you in the past and definitively say, I have gotten better, and that the person that I am now is a better person than that person that I can see in the past. And if you can do that, then you're doing quite well. And if you can't do that, then you just need to find yourself a way of being able to do it. You know, I'm sure there's something that you do better now compared to the past, even if you're maybe a little bit like less productive, but maybe you have a more well-rounded understanding of the universe. You take what you get, really. Sometimes you like, because I don't think maturity is a linear progression. I think there's been times in my sort of like childhood where I had more of a understanding of the world than I do now, right? About certain things. And obviously, like, there's things that I know now that are like much more in-depth compared to what I knew as a kid. But honestly, you could have taken 8-year-old me and had him start talking about the solar system. He'd be naming shit that you'd never fucking heard of, that I've never heard of. And I'd be sat there listening to my own self from the past going, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I wouldn't have a clue what he was talking about. I wouldn't know what he's on. I genuinely don't know much about space anymore, but I used to know so much about it. And, you know, I think it's because there's only so much room in our head for new information. You know, it's the reason that there isn't like one individual out there who is just an expert on everything. You know, there isn't one person out there like Stephen Hawking probably wasn't that good at, you know, I don't know, something that he's not very good at. He probably wasn't very good at Call of Duty, right? But I don't think anyone was expecting him to be good at Call of Duty. The same way that like you wouldn't expect a tax accountant to be a great footballer. You wouldn't expect a pilot to be able to, you know, navigate his way around a crane, you know, because it's different skills, and you can't have someone that can just do everything, because if we could all just do everything, there'd be nothing left to do. There'd be nothing left to outsource. So everyone would just do everything themselves. Like, say if everyone could plumb and be a carpenter and they could do all of that. Well, how many industries are gone right away there? You know, everyone can do their own taxes. Everyone's just a fucking perfect specimen. There wouldn't be much of a world anymore, because, you know, most of the commodities and that we buy and most of the services that we get are either semi-hedonistic in nature, like, you know, going to the pub or gambling or, you know, eating junk food or whatever, or there's something to remedy a mistake that we made. So, you know, like yoga lessons, for instance. People take yoga lessons because they want to, I don't know, lose some weight. Well, why did they gain the weight? Because they were, you know, eating too much, you know? And it kind of works that way. We need a little bit of imperfection in order to make the world continue rotating on its axis. We need a little bit of that. And so, you know, the fact that you're not perfect, don't let that get to you, right? But, you know, just be aware that, you know, there's places you can improve, but you can't improve at everything, and you can't be the best at all things. And, you know, if you were, then, you know, I don't think people would like you very much. You'd just be a bit of a pretentious twat, to be honest. So, It's kind of a good thing. It's kind of a good thing that we're not perfect. And I just think that getting back onto the burnout thing, burnout happens in part because of the imperfection within man, essentially. We're sitting there, you know, trying to improve ourselves, and in the attempt, we slip and we fall, and we need to get ourselves back up, and then we need to try again. And that's basically the overall human experience, is just trying again and again and finding different ways to attack the problem and that kind of thing. And, I just think that, for instance, because I'm a bit burnt out at the moment, I feel a little bit like, because, as I said, I was juggling too many plates and stuff, and it was my own fault for trying to juggle so many plates. And I knew at the time I was juggling these plates, I'm like, fucking hell, these could fall at any second, you know? And, that happens over months rather than, you know, the seconds it would be when you're actually spinning plates. But, you know, I could have taken premeditative action to ensure that I didn't burn out, and yet I didn't. So it's my own fault, right? And, I think there should be a level of responsibility over that. Like, you fucked it up, so, you know, own it. And it's like, yeah, I did. And that's why the videos for the past, like, you know, maybe week or 2 weeks haven't been very good. And so sorry about that. And I just sort of was also thinking that with the kind of videos that I do, right, they're not really like chasing a trend. They're not like after, I mean, they are apparently a trend, but they're not, you know, tackling the new fucking issue of the day. So there's not like, I can just go on the news and just go, what am I going to talk about? Oh, what's in the news? Good for Britain, neon eicotinoid ban, giving bees priority over sugar beet. Right? Or am I going to just make a video about that? About the Britain's neonicotinoid ban. I mean, well, you could probably get a good half an hour out of that. Sounds like it's a good thing that we banned it. If, you know, something to do with bees, giving bees priority, that's good. We should do that. I mean, the bees are disappearing. They've been disappearing for fucking decades, and, you know, no one seems to be bothered about it. We like to sit around and go, ooh, don't want the bees to disappear, but, you know, we're not actually going to do anything to make sure that they don't. So, that's kind of grim. And, yeah, because these videos don't, you know, attach themselves to any one, like, recent event or topic like that, that I can just, you know, it's not a renewable thing that I'm doing here. I can't just keep doing this forever. So, I'm thinking at some point I'm going to lower it again from one video a day to one video every 2 days, because there's a video that I'm going to do about that whole topic. But I feel like if I do some less of these videos, because I think I've made my point overall, and like you've got a good idea of who I am, what the worldview is, what the point of these videos are. You've seen some good ones, you've seen some bad ones, you've seen some pretty ones, you've seen some ugly ones, you've seen some urban ones, you've seen some nature ones, you've seen some ones on film, some ones on music, some ones on politics, some things on the world and philosophy and bullshit, you know, and then some more introspective ones and stuff like that. You've had a nice little array of them now, and not that I want to stop them by any means, but I do wonder, what good is me just adding to the pile doing in this current moment? And I think that's why I'm a bit burnt out. I'm thinking, why am I doing this to sort of not really provide much of a, you know, additional piece of media? I'm not adding anything to what's already been here before that I've already created. I've made the points, I've tackled the points from various angles, and so I feel like what I should do now is lower it down to one video every 2 days, so that the quality of the videos can go back up, and I can start, because I notice that people like it when I tackle big issues. They like all that, and like, I can't tackle a big issue every fucking day of my life, you know. I've got stuff to do, right? And one, I also want to be like a bit more well versed on the issues. Like, if I tackle, like, you know, religion this day, and then, you know, government the next day, and then, you know, taxation the next day, and then the police state the next day, and then, you know, love the next day. I can't tackle all this stuff and do it any kind of justice if I just do that every day and I just pump stuff out like that. I like the fact that there's been so many of these videos in such a short span of time, because it is a chapter snapshot of one, who I am, two, kind of what I'm all about, and three, I do like cataloguing the process. And so, you know, some things, like the cream of the crop of those videos, will rise to the top, And there's some videos in there that are just a pile of shite, and they'll just fall to the wayside. And that's okay, and I don't have a problem with that, right? And I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm never going to make a shit video again. No, I certainly am going to, and I intend to. Not like I set out to make a shit video, but I intend to not limit myself and just go, that's not good enough, can't upload it. Because what I notice is sometimes the stuff that I think isn't very good is the stuff that resonates the most with other people. Like all of my favorite videos of mine that I've made where I think I did the best job at this talking thing, of all the ones that have like 300 views compared to some of the ones, like the one that I've done that's got like 500,000 views, it's not like my favorite. It's all right. It's average. It's average, but it's not one of the best. And yeah, burnout is quite real. I have felt it, and I've been finding ways to tackle it in a different way. As I was saying, you know, you get up and you try again. So I've gotten up and I'm trying it in a different way. And the way that I'm doing things now is that I'm working on a new album. When I get home, I'm going to do another video talking about that more in depth. But yeah, it's because this kind of stream of consciousness sort of thing, I want to take a bit of a breather on it so that I can kind of come back to it with a fresh perspective, because I feel like I've covered most of my overall worldview at this point. And it's not that I'm going to stop making them. You're still going to get them every other day, right? But you're not going to, you know, maybe on the days in between, maybe you'll get something like a bit of music or something. And at some point, I'll probably come back to one a day, or I'll start increasing the scope of each video so that you start tackling more, you know, big topics. I want to do one where it's like a thought experiment where I start off as a Christian. For reference, I am not religious. So I would start off as a Christian, and then I would say, basically talk myself into being an atheist. But like, I'd be arguing at myself from the point of view of a Christian, and like, you know, try and keep talking myself into it. And the more I do that, the more I would find myself leaning towards the atheist side of things because I'm not a Christian. But there could be some, you know, I do it with an open mind and stuff. So it would be, the conflict would be in, you know, maybe it will become a Christian. I don't think I would. I don't think that's how the video will end up going. I think the video will end up with me becoming an atheist like I am anyway. With an asterisk next to atheist. Not that I believe in a god or a higher deity, but there is some spiritual sort of stuff in there. But generally, I'm sort of, you know, this, what we see is what we get, you know. And yeah. This video has been a bit all over the place. And I think that is kind of a good way of seeing that I'm a little bit burnt out, is that this has been all over the fucking place. And yeah, I don't much like that. So I've done the quantity over quality experiment for now. And I like going back to the quantity over quality experiment time and time again, because each time I do it, I get better at the quantity, which means that then when I focus on quality for a bit, I take all the lessons from the quantity and move them onto the quality. And then when I try the experiment again, I'm starting from a higher baseline. So I will do the quantity over quality experiment again, and I'll do more of it. I don't know. It feels like a goodbye, this, but it's not. This isn't a goodbye, because I'm not going to stop making videos. I'm just going to do them every other day rather than every day. Maybe also partly because I feel like I'm not giving my older videos enough of a chance to flourish, because, you know, no one has any reason to go back to the old stuff, because new stuff keeps coming out. So why would they bother going to the old stuff, you know? So maybe that's why I want to, like, take a bit of a breather from it and do it every other day for maybe a month or something, and then come back to it every day. It will also give me a bigger backlog, because the more backlog I have, the more I can actually focus on like work that I should be really getting on with rather than this, because this is meant to be like the little like thing that keeps me going, whereas now it's kind of become the main thing that I do. And yeah, I didn't want that to happen, so I want to just sort of refocus course, basically. And yeah, that's basically the video. It's a bit of a fucked one, to be honest. There's no central point to this, but if you got something out of it, then please let me know what that is, because and also let me know what the fuck, like, with these videos, what is it that people want more of out of them, that I can, so I can figure that out, so that I can know to do more of certain stuff and less of other stuff, so I can be more entertaining and you know, not that I'm gonna get louder or like, you know, Mr. Beastie or whatever, but you know, it'd be nice to be able to cater to my audience and, you know, give you guys what you want. And yeah, lots of fun stuff coming in the future. Album, as I mentioned, Johnny Moz's Lessons in Confidence. Let's see, a couple other films, new album, I think I already mentioned that. Some little mini comedy series that I'm working on. What else? I think that's it. The email band. Yeah, I think that's it now. Yeah, that's all the stuff that's worth watching or engaging with. And then there's some other stuff that's just to me. Yeah, sorry that this video is a bit shit, but what are you going to do? I mean, look at the weather. It's not exactly like weather that makes you want to be high energy. So yeah, that's it really. Thank you very much for watching this video, and take care, everybody. Bye-bye. And I'll see you in 2 days, right? I'm not going anywhere, okay? Just thought I'd make that clear. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Moz's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about high days and low days and how we all have low days and stuff. And we all have days where we feel like we can't do it, we can't carry on and all that sort of stuff. So in this video, I thought I would talk about how I kind of get through that and how I kind of get through to the other side, because obviously doing daily videos, from your point of view as the audience, you just see me every single day, non-stop, just going out to random places in the middle of nowhere, recording these videos where I go all like, ooh, motivate you and all that sort of stuff, positivity and stuff. And I'm constantly asserting this positive sort of thing and this like idea of like, you know, having energy and success. I'm projecting an image of success, more or less, is what I'm doing. I know that there's certainly people out there that do it a bit more like, you know, rigidly than me. I kind of just like act like myself, but like the high version of myself all the time, rather than, oh, I'm not going to show you the low version of myself. Like, why would I? Because it's fucking boring, you know, not much to see there. So I thought I would talk to you though about the low sort of points in yourself. Like, there's days where I don't record a video, right? I don't record each of these videos the day that they come out, right? I backlog them. So I'm recording this on the 20th of January. And this might not come out until like maybe the 4th of February or something. I don't know. It might come out at some point earlier than that. But the point is that the reason I've got this backlog is so that I can have those days where I'm a bit more like tired and stuff, and I can just have a, you know, you can go past.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't find a better spot to have the sunset in the background. Yeah. You have a good day, mate. Take care. Cheers. Aye. Yeah, it's Canon C100. Yeah. Take care. So yeah, you know, I have low days where like I can't be bothered doing stuff like that, where like I might go to Asda or whatever and I don't even want to talk to the security guard, you know, and maybe I don't even want to get out of bed. And usually most days I don't want to get out of bed, to be fair. I mean, we're only human, but it's just one of those things where you just kind of think, oh God, I've got to do the thing. And then, you know, you overexert yourself and then you end up tired as a result of that, burnt out. And then you need to reignite the burnt out matchstick of you to make that actually all sort of come together so you can, you know, if you're a firework, you know, light the matchstick to set the firework to go off. Stupid metaphor, really. So in terms of having low days and high days, you're going to have that. Like, even the most successful people out there, you know, the ones that are super like, oh, I'm so successful, look how brilliant I am, look how successful I am. They're probably having more lazy days than you are, where they just do fuck all and just sit there going, oh, I can't do it today. They've got all their little Instagram reels and stuff on schedule. They've got all their YouTube videos ready to go, and then they record stuff for like 3 months down the line. Everything is already sorted for them. It's like a factorized process. Who do you think has a more stressful day, right? Joel Haver doing one of these feature films that he does, right? With just himself, and he basically has to do everything, right? Or do you think Steven Spielberg is more stressed, who basically has a intern come in to his like bunker bed thing and just go, Steve, here's what you're doing now. You're going to do this shoot here, and we'll get you some transport over there, and we'll get you some coffee. Right, okay, you've done that, great. Now we're going over to this other spot and we're gonna do this, and here's some coffee for you, Steve. It's like, I'm not, you know, denigrating Steven Spielberg's work by any means, nor am I saying that Joel Haver is better than Steven Spielberg or Steven Spielberg is better than Joel Haver or whatever. I'm just using them as an example of two different modes. And because you don't have many resources, you have to work harder. And a lot of your icons and stuff, the people on YouTube with millions of subscribers and stuff that have big professional setups and that, they have everything, they have all their ducks in a row. They already know exactly how this works, and they can coordinate their lazy days around their output as is. It's very easy to actually manufacture an image of constant success, like, and this idea that people never have a rest day. And I think it's damaging to you know, young people today who get raised from these icons, whether that's good parenting or not, that's what happens for loads of kids. And you know, they see all this stuff and they're working every day and they're doing this every day, and they don't ever see the lazy days. They never see the day where, like, I don't know, what's one of them? You know, the big high contrasty ones, like Joe Rogan-y type shit. You never see Joe Rogan sick in bed with a little thermometer coming out of his mouth watching The Big Bang Theory. You never see that. You only ever see him when he's working out or he's doing a podcast and he's interviewing, like, whoever, right? That's what you see, okay? Because he wants to project an image of success onto you. And that is what you need to try and see through. See through these images. Figure out, you know, are they uploading at certain times because, you know, they might be tired on this sort of day? And just recognize that people out there aren't on, like, some higher fucking plane of divinity from you. You're fine as is. You're okay. You're not any lazier than the rest of us overall. Like, obviously, like, there's some people that are kind of lazy. You know, like, we've all... You can go past if you want. Yeah. Sorry, I know it's just a bit of an awkward place. It's the only place I could do the sunset. Yeah, it's a bit of an awkward spot, this, because I'm on the middle of a pavement. I try not to film around there because of this exact reason. And yeah, in general, what I would say is, because I do have low days, right, when I'm on a low day, I kind of sit and I end up watching YouTube. Lately, I've been watching CoffeeZilla, and he does, like exposing scammers and stuff, and that's quite fun. Yeah, that's just nice. You can go past, yeah, sorry. It's just the only place I can get sunset. Take a drink every time I've said that in this video, because it is the only place I can get the sunset. Like, this sunset's gorgeous, and I was looking at it, and I was just like, I have the camera with me, I might as well do this video. Because I did have the idea to talk about this anyway, from some lovely commenter who commented in, whose name I can't remember. He basically just asked, like, how do you manage to do this every day? And it's like, the answer to that is, I don't do this every day. I do this maybe 3-4 times a week, right? So really, I work less than the average person. And my eventual goal is to get a proper, like, real job, not some YouTube job, and then just have this, and I can just, like, keep making more and more of these sort of videos, and also work that real job. And that would just be a nice little continual sort of plan, and I'd get 2 paychecks, and that'd be nice. So, yeah, very capitalistic, I know. Yeah, there's not really much else to add to this one. Just generally, low people, you know, even the most productive people have lazy days. You know, no one ever doesn't stop, because that they know, because they're not stupid people, that that's a fast way to burn yourself out. And they want their client audience base to be constantly burnt out, so that, you know, they keep engaging with this stuff, this motivational stuff. It's the same way with dating apps. Dating apps don't want you to get a partner, because if you've got a partner, then you and the partner aren't going to be using the dating app anymore, right? It's exactly like that, but for, you know, motivation and self-improvement and stuff. So yeah, I'm kind of a lazy person. You know, I get up at like 9:30, 10 a.m. Have some breakfast, and I take a long time doing that, brush my teeth. And I'm usually ready to work about like 11:30. I do a bit of basic stuff, like maybe upload a couple YouTube videos that I've already filmed and edited the night before. Maybe sort out some back-end stuff, like analytical sort of shit, or like stuff like that. Yeah, all that kind of boring stuff. And then I'll go out and film these videos, and then I'll come back, and by that point I'm in the zone. Yeah. That's kind of it, really. This is a rambly one, a bit of a low-energy one. I figured it was fitting for a low point. I'm actually not in a low point. I'm actually kind of fine, but I just thought, you know, it's nice to see this. It's nice to see the other side of YouTubers or like self-motivational fucking gurus or whatever, because I feel like I am one of those now, and I don't want to be, because I don't respect them particularly, but now I just am one, so I guess I don't respect myself. So, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how to wrap this up. Don't worry so much about, you know, how successful other people are in terms of like how productive they are and stuff, because they're not really as productive as you think. You can go past if you want. It's just the sunset is really nicer. Yeah, so they're not that productive. Obviously, they're not lazy either, but they do take days off to just sit around and just play video games or eat some junk food or whatever, you know? That kind of thing. And if they tell you they're not doing that, they're fucking lying to you, and you shouldn't listen to them, all right? So yeah, that's the end of the video. Thank you very much for watching this. Do you have lazy days? Well, obviously you do. Tell me about them. Tell me about how they differ from your main days, particularly if you're a YouTuber. If you're like some guy with an audience and a platform and people probably think higher of you than you actually are. Let me know about your experiences with that. I saw Exerbia, the fucking philosophy guy. He subscribed to my channel. I was like, fucking hell, that's sick. I've watched some of his videos. That was kind of cool. I hope he comments. Can he comment and just tell me what he thinks about people sort of thinking that he's way more productive than he actually is? Because he's probably quite lazy some of the time. Not all the time. I'm not saying he's a lazy person, but I'm just saying I'm just using him as an example, really. Which I probably shouldn't because he's actively watching the videos. I don't know how to wrap this up. I'm just finishing it there, I suppose. Take care, everybody. Have a good rest of the day. And love you all. Take care. Also, I liked Big Oxygen. That was a good one. That was probably my favourite one recently. I liked a lot of the older ones. I stopped watching the sort of long form, sort of short story ones. But I really liked Big Oxygen. I liked the one about the snake. I think it's Then We'll Be Okay. That was good. I think that's the one about the guy who goes up a mountain and there's loads of crazy existential shit that happens. His old videos were nice. His new videos are probably good too. So yeah, what a glowing review that was. So take care. Bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzers, Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about stylizing your videos, because you don't have much money, you don't have much in the way of budget in order to create these big, bombastic affairs that you see in Hollywood. So you need to try and do something else, right? Because otherwise, you're just going to get something that looks cheap. And so that's why I've kind of gone for this silhouette-y kind of thing. I figure this is a style. This is something that you could use as a form of identifying these kind of videos, for instance. Say if I was to do all videos kind of like this in a silhouetted form, that is an example of a style, right? All directors, when you start film school, you hear about the various styles of different directors. Wes Anderson likes his centralized sort of frames and stuff like that. Michael Bay likes his big bombastic affairs. Steven Spielberg likes his long takes with 6 minute long takes and stuff like that. All these directors have their own little things that make them, right? And you also have stuff that makes who you are you. So, for instance, with me, I like doing things in 4:3 aspect ratio. I've always been doing things in 4:3 aspect ratio. I do experiment outside of that. I don't do everything in the universe in 4:3, but I do like using 4:3 as an aspect ratio. And to me, I identify with that aspect ratio, and I like the old sort of 70s, 80s British TV kind of look. That to me is appealing, and so I wanted to make something that's kind of like that. So a lot of my stuff tends to draw from that kind of feel. And other people like different things. Some people might want to do a more modern look. People might want to get the Steadicam and do crazy sort of things like that. Skateboarding videos, for instance, are basically kind of the opposite of what I do. They're a lot quicker and flashier and more modern feeling. Right? Not inherently, there are some that aren't like that, but when you think of a skateboarding video, you kind of think of the opposite of this, don't you? So we all have our own little styles, okay, as creatives that make us, and it's up to us to figure out what those styles are, right? I like my static shots, I like creating a bit of a mise-en-scene, right? And I like long shots as well. I like my favourite thing to do, actually, when I'm shooting a film, I like to get a long lens, say 200mm lens, take it really far away, right, and then shoot the entire scene in a wide with that really long lens, with a nice bit of background as well. Say if you've got two characters walking up a road, right, and you go really far back, right, with the 200mm lens and capture it. Because it's a long lens, it kind of flattens the background and the characters, and it makes it almost feel like a painting. I call it the Leon the Professional shot, because there's a shot in Leon the Professional that does it, that was probably the thing that I looked at and got inspired to start doing that, and that kind of helped make my style, and I call it the Leon the Professional shot. And it's a really satisfying little shot, and it's something that I like doing, and I feel like it makes me identify with who I am. And I feel like for you, whatever you might want to do, what kind of style you want to create, it is something that you are capable of creating. You don't need an insane level of money to be able to get started with this. Okay, we all have smartphones, right? And you can get a digital mini shitty camera for like 30 quid, right? And you can get variations on that. There's like Canon ones and Sony ones and Fuji ones and you know, all sorts of different ones, right? You could get like an old DSLR, or you could get an old camcorder, or you could get something that shoots onto video cassettes, or you know, you could try and shoot on like 16mm film or 8mm film or something like that. That would probably cost you more money. But you know, there's so many options out there. You don't have to just get the latest, greatest camera. You don't have to spend £10,000 on an Arri Alexa or whatever they cost. You don't need to go straight for Blackmagic. You don't have to do these things. You can if you want, if you feel like you look at Blackmagic footage, or if you've been on a set and you've seen someone use a Blackmagic and like, God, I really identify with the way that this stuff looks. I want to get one of those, right? Then yeah, get one. Save up some money and buy one, right? But when it comes to you and your tendencies, think about what you like. What's your favorite thing to sit down and watch? Are you more of a movie buff? Do you like sitcoms like me? I'm not a big movie guy, but I'm a big sitcom guy, right? Do you like just TV? Do you like documentary sort of styles, the handheld? What do you like? And what about the things that you like, do you like about them? Do you like the fact that they're kind of rough and round the edges? Do you like the fact that they feel quite slick and polished and a technical achievement? Do you resonate with the locations that they're filming in? Do you like the particular camera that's being used and the way that it can maybe use a digital zoom or whatever? What do you like about these things? Figure that out, and figure it out consciously, not just like as a vibe, as an idea in your brain. Really sit to the point where you could write it out if you wanted to. You don't have to, but if you make it so that you could if you wanted to, right? And if you can do that and figure out what your style is, who you are in amongst a larger world, then you'll be more capable of creating good art compared to someone who has more resources than you but doesn't have a clue about who they are and what they want. So that's generally the point of this video, is to not let your limitations get in the way, to make the most of your limitations and to use your limitations as a way of defining yourself, not to let you be defined by your limitations, but to feel the freedom in the limitations, because being limited by stuff isn't necessarily like being in a jail cell. It's like being in a really massive field, right? And obviously, say you can't leave this field, but there's a lot of this field to explore, right? You're not going to be short of time wandering around this field, you know, shooting every little bit of this field and then having fun with it. You can just explore the little confines that you set for yourself, and that's generally the point of this video, really. It's just to sort of let you know that you don't need that massive camera that you think you need. You don't need all that stuff. You can get started right now with the things that you have and figure out what works for you, what doesn't work, and how you can improve yourself, because it's unique to you, and no YouTube video can tell you how to be yourself. So thank you very much for watching this video. Please leave your comments in the description below if you have any particular camera that helps you with your vibe, if you have something, like, what do you think your style is as an artist? Whatever kind of art you make, what's your style? What makes your art unique to you? What makes the things that you create yours and not just generic video and audio, you know? What makes it you? So let me know that in particular. And yeah, thank you very much for watching, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this one, got something out of it. I hope you understood that the point of the silhouette was to create this kind of idea that a style can be very easily made with anything, right? Silhouettes can be a style. You can make a style out of having everything out of focus, right? I'm not saying that is like, that's just an idea, I'm just spitballing, but it could happen. I'm sure someone out there could try that and make some art out of it. People make art out of all sorts of things. Look at Andy Warhol. So don't be limited by things. Own your limitations rather than letting your limitations own you. So thank you very much for watching, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.